Do you know what's in your water? More importantly, do you know what harmful contaminants are in your water? Those questions could be answered a little easier by legislation making its way through the Capitol, which would require the Cuomo administration's Department of Health to identify a list of emerging contaminants for water utilities to monitor for. To discuss the merits of the proposal and why the state isn't doing this already, we're joined by Rob Hayes, Director of Clean Water for Environmental Advocates NY. Welcome back to the show, Rob.
Thanks so much, Dave. Great to be with you.
So, Rob, what are emerging contaminants, and why does the state need to regulate them in our drinking water? I mean, I would assume there are federal rules and regulation governing water safety already.
Absolutely. That's a great question. So, emerging contaminants are contaminants that have been linked to harmful health effects and are known or likely to occur in our drinking water, but that state and federal governments haven't formally regulated yet. They don't have drinking water standards associated with them. There are no requirements for testing or cleanup. And the problem is here is that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of emerging contaminants entering our drinking water supplies every year. Every year, industry and manufacturing and chemicals from products wind their way into our lakes and rivers and drinking water supplies. And some of those chemicals can have very harmful impacts on our health. And if New York State is serious about protecting drinking water and fully protecting public health, we have to stay on top of all of the emerging contaminants that could be entering our drinking water.
So you and I are both old enough to remember 2017, and in the wake of the revelation that the drinking water for Hoosick Falls was contaminated with PFOA, the state passed the Emerging Contaminant Monitoring Act, which required the state to create and regularly update a list of emerging contaminants that every water utility, regardless of their size, was going to be required to test and notify the public about. What's the status of that measure?
Unfortunately, Dave, 4 years after the passage of that law, the State Department of Health has still not implemented it. 4 years after 2017, millions of New Yorkers still do not know if they're being exposed to toxic chemicals that could make them sick. The State Department of Health has taken other good action on chemicals in drinking water lately. They've established new drinking water standards for PFOA and PFOS, two very toxic chemicals. But the fact remains that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other chemicals entering our drinking water, and the state needs to be testing for them, identifying where contamination is across the state so that we can accelerate efforts to clean it up. But it's been very exciting that the state legislature, as they did in 2017, is once again showing leadership to protecting drinking water. Just a few weeks ago, the state Senate passed A126, S1759, which would finally jumpstart drinking water testing for emerging contaminants across the state and finally make sure that people know what's in their water.
Yeah, how would that legislation essentially fill the void?
What the State Department of Health has failed to do is they have failed to create a list of contaminants that every water utility across the state, regardless of size, has to test for in their drinking water. They have simply just not created this list. And so water utilities haven't tested for chemicals like strontium and chromium-6 and vanadium and many PFAS chemicals that we know have showed up in drinking water in some parts of the state and could be showing up elsewhere, especially in the smaller communities of small size that haven't had this testing before. So this bill basically says to the Department of Health, all right, if you can't create that list of contaminants, we'll create the first one for you. And so it lays out all of these chemicals that are known to harm human health that are likely to occur in New York's drinking water and says this should be the basis to jumpstart this testing and that the State Department of Health can then update in future years going forward.
Well, how many contaminants are we talking about? Because you said earlier that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of emerging contaminants that are potentially out there.
The initial law that was passed back in 2017 was modeled on a federal testing program run by the US EPA called the Emerging Contaminant Monitoring Rule. Every 5 years, I believe, the federal government comes up with a list of about 30 contaminants that large water systems across the country are supposed to monitor for and see if there are any high concerning levels of these contaminants in drinking water across the nation. What's unfortunate about the federal testing is that their program exempts small water systems. If you're living in a community of fewer than 10,000 people, your water likely won't be tested under this federal program. That's exactly the gap that this 2017 law was intended to close, and that's the gap that this law will actually, you know, close for real after this testing finally begins.
Well, just because a contaminant might be tested for, and it might even appear in our test, does that guarantee any specific course of action? I mean, does this legislation set thresholds that say what's safe for some of these contaminants?
The original law from 2017 directs the State Department of Health to establish notification levels for these contaminants so that when water utilities are testing for them, if a contaminant exceeds the notification level, the public will receive a note in the mail saying, this chemical is in your water, you should be aware of it, so that you can take any necessary steps to protect the health of you and your family. Those notification levels are set on the latest science that has come out on the harmful health effects of those chemicals and will be determined by the Department of Health as part of the regulatory process of implementing this law.
So if Rob Hayes gets that notification in the mail, I think you have a certain amount of education and information to take certain actions. If Dave Lombardo, poli-sci major, gets that notification, I'm just going to be scratching my head. You know, does that mean I should get a water filter? Does that mean I should just start drinking bottled water? How will people make sense of these notifications?
It's a great question because these are incredibly complex chemicals and because it's a core function of the State Department of Health to translate this information into plain language so that people can truly understand what's in their drinking water. Luckily, this is another component of the original law that was passed in 2017, which mandates the State Department of Health to come up with educational material that they can then promulgate to water utilities, and water utilities can then send out to their customers so that in plain language, they can explain, here's what's in your drinking water, here's what the risks might be, and here are any actions that you might have to take.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about keeping drinking water safe from emerging contaminants, and our guest is Rob Hayes, Director of Clean Water for Environmental Advocates NY. If this legislation actually became law, is there any reason to expect that the State Department of Health would actually comply, because they haven't complied with the 2017 law yet?
One of the great features of the law currently moving, or the bill currently moving in the state legislature, is that it actually gives the Department of Health a deadline to establish this list. This is unfortunately missing in the law that was passed in 2017. So currently, the Department of Health has no specific deadline to publish this list. And that's something that this bill would remedy. We also hope that as the governor's office is looking at their bill, that they recognize that this fulfills a promise that they made to New Yorkers all the way back in 2016. When the Hoosick Falls crisis came to light in kind of late 2015, early 2016, the governor's administration sent a letter to the US EPA telling them, if you do not close this water testing gap, we will close it here in New York. But unfortunately, 5 years later, that gap is still there, and millions of New Yorkers still don't know what's in their water. So we hope that the governor's office and administration will recognize that this law is all about fulfilling a promise that's been long overdue to New Yorkers.
We don't have enough time on this show for me to list all the ways in which the Cuomo administration has completely ignored statutory deadlines over the past 11 years. So I'll just simply say they do it all the time. Is there a mechanism, though, that could potentially ensure that with this deadline that they would have to comply? For example, could Environmental Advocates NY sue the Department of Health and the Cuomo administration to mandate action if they blew this deadline, if it becomes law?
I think all options would be on the table. I think one of the things that a legal deadline gives us is the ability to consider court action. It makes for a much stronger case if we can show in court that an agency ignored a deadline rather than them ignoring a kind of statutory obligation that doesn't currently have a deadline attached to it. So I think it makes for a much stronger potential litigation opportunities in the future.
Are you concerned at all about the ability of some of these smaller water utilities to comply with the additional testing? What kind of burden will this be for them?
Fortunately, this water testing will not be a burden to water utilities for a number of reasons. The first is that water testing in general is not a significant cost burden compared to water utility budgets. You know, for each testing method that water utilities would have to run under this bill, those tests only run about a few hundred dollars a piece, so nothing too substantial. The other way that the original law from 2017 ensures that water utilities don't face undue financial burden from this testing is that it actually directs the Department of Health to make funding available if there is a very small water system in need of support. And luckily, over the past several years, the state legislature and the governor's administration has been putting enormous amounts of resources into the Clean Water Infrastructure Act that can help pay for exactly this kind of water testing.
And how often would this testing need to be done if this legislation was implemented?
This testing would be required at least every 3 years by water utilities. This testing is really intended to give New York a better sense of what's in its drinking water, to give it the data on the frequency and the levels that these harmful contaminants are showing up so that it can better inform future drinking water standards and protections that the state might need to adopt to better protect public health. The thing is, if we don't test for these contaminants, we'll never know if we're there. Identifying the contamination is the first step to cleaning it up.
Our conversation has revolved solely around people who get their drinking water from the utility system right now. What protection is there from emerging contaminants for people who might get their water from a well system, for example?
Unfortunately, there are almost no drinking water protections for private well owners in New York. There are no requirements to test your water. There are no requirements for your water to be remediated. It's really the Wild West out there when it comes to private wells. And unfortunately, this bill would not cover private well owners. It's a huge issue that remains to be addressed, and there's clearly a role for the state to play in the testing and remediation of private wells, because many of the rural homeowners that operate those systems simply don't have the financial needs as individuals to conduct the testing and remediation that might be required.
And finally, I'm curious, considering your background and expertise, what sort of water filtration system, if any, do you use at your house?
You know, luckily, the city of Albany's water is pretty clean. You can check out its annual water quality report, and the numbers look pretty good. And fortunately, my building is not served by, say, a lead service line that could be adding toxic lead to my drinking water. So luckily, I just drink it straight out of the tap.
No Brita
so
filter? No Brita filter?
No Brita filter. No. And, you know, the hope is that we get to a point in New York State where every single New Yorker will be able to do that. You know, part of the reason that the transparency in this bill is so important is to give New Yorkers the assurance that there aren't toxic chemicals in their drinking water, that they can turn on their tap and take a drink of water and feel confident that their health is protected and the health of their family is protected.
Well, we've been speaking with Rob Hayes, Director of Clean Water for Environmental Advocates NY. Rob, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.